independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
Cameron Nigel Show filling in for Chad Benson tonight. 844-DIG-CHAD. The phone number, 844-344-2423. Twitter, at Chad Benson Show, or you can find us on Twitter as well, at Hammer and Nigel. Hammer, where's more fatigue for you? Is it the healthcare bill or the Trump-Russia-Nunes investigation thingy?
Russia, and it's not even close.
Really? Yeah.
This Russia story is exhausting. And here's the thing. This does not affect any one of us on our day-to-day life. When you wake up in the morning and you take your kids to school, or you take them to the babysitter, or you're driving into work, are you looking over your shoulder wondering if the Russians are watching you?
Well, other people would say that the Russians, I mean, it's important to know the Russians hacked into our system. It's important to know if the Russians had any, if there's evidence there that Russia colluded with anybody to interfere with the elections. You'd want to know about that at least, right?
The key word there is if. And this is the problem I have with the entire story. Every time you watch this story about the Russians and Nunes and spying and Schiff and all these other people, you're going to hear one of the following words. If, rumored, alleged, suspected, or sources. That's my favorite. Sources, or its bastard brother, multiple sources. Nobody has brought forth evidence, any sort of smoking gun evidence, to the forefront right now.
Hold
people
on.
Claim they have it, but nobody has brought it forward.
Did you say multiple sources is the bastard brother of sources?
Yes.
Okay.
A bunch of people that are afraid to put their name on something. Multiple sources. But there has not been one proven, and I'm writing that at all caps, proven piece of evidence so far. Yet every time you turn on the news, it's the breaking news story, rumors, allegations. That's not breaking news. That's rumors. That's gossip. And until you show me something that can link all of this together, I'm just tapping out. I'm like somebody that's got in an arm bar in a UFC fight. I'm tapping out because I'm exhausted with it.
Here is a lot of people. There's people that don't even know who's being investigated, what exactly the Russians did. House Intelligence Committee chairman is kind of doing some damage control. Devin Nunes, Republican from California, making the rounds on the talk shows. He was on O'Reilly last night. What exactly are you investigating, sir?
So we have long had an investigation going on in Russia. In fact, a year ago, I said that the biggest intelligence failure since 9/11 was our failure to understand Putin's plans and intentions.
So the Russians you're investigating, and then I assume you're investigating the surveillance and the leaks, right? Is that right?
Yeah, so we're also investigating leaks as it relates to Russia. Now, as you know, just recently last week I found out that there was additional information that came forward to me that had nothing to do with Russia, but has everything to do with whether or not Americans were masked properly or, in fact, unmasked.
Yeah.
And I'm very concerned about that.
By surveillance, and Trump people were involved.
So you got Nunes investigating the whole Russian connection here, whether or not they interfered in the election. We know that they did. There was some hacking going on. We know that. And then there's this new thing that Nunes finds and about the surveilling foreign intelligence, but it happens to also just involve Donald Trump. Trump tweets out that he was getting wiretapped.
Right.
And now Nunes finds out this new information that, maybe there was some validity to this tweet that Trump had, even though they knew about it way before he did. My head's about ready to explode here.
This is the thing. We're relying on a bunch of people telling us things with no hardcore evidence.
There's a little bit more from Nunes last night.
We've known about this long before Trump actually sent his famous tweet out about the wiretapping at Trump Tower. We've known that there was additional unmasked masking of Americans' names. We had sources that had provided us to that information. And so what I had to do is I needed a place that I could actually go and find this information and review it. And then what I reviewed and when I found out that it had nothing to do with Russia, okay, that's the key here, is that nothing to do with Russia.
It's another surveillance deal that we need to, we the people need to know about.
My head is spinning. I don't know.
Look, exactly. I'm not trying to turn a blind eye to this story. If there were indeed shenanigans, then yes, it needs to be investigated. But to me, again, somebody that wakes up in the morning, takes his kids to school, comes into work, there are so many more important stories. National security, health care, tax reform. These are the things that will affect all of us. What happens if we find out the Russians did hack in? Well, damn, we move on. What happens if we find out they did not hack in? Well, damn, we move on. Does anyone's life listening to this show right now actually change with any result of this investigation? That's the million-dollar question. You can tweet at us, at Hammer and Nigel. It's all one word, at Hammer and Nigel, facebook.com/HammerandNigel.
My favorite clip, because you know the Democrats are trying like hell, even some of the mainstream media trying to connect Russia with Donald Trump, trying to make any connection they have there. Here is Sean Spicer earlier today.
If the president puts Russian salad dressing on his salad tonight, somehow that's a Russian connection.
Nice, succinct little nugget right there from Sean Spicer.
If the president puts Russian salad dressing on his salad tonight, somehow that's a Russian connection.
And he's right. Yeah. We live in a Russia-crazed society, man. I'm waiting for somebody to re-release the Rocky IV movie right now because we're in such a big USA versus Russia thing. Why not bring Ivan Drago's corpse back up there and let Sylvester Stallone beat the hell out of him? Build up some national pride, right?
I think this story about Schumer yelling at an old couple having dinner in Manhattan Sunday night is pretty interesting. This is from page6.com. Senator Chuck Schumer caused a scene in a Manhattan restaurant when he began yelling at a wealthy Donald Trump supporter that POTUS is a liar. onlookers said Schumer was incensed that these people that he knew, these were an older couple too. This was like an older couple trying to have a quiet dinner. One witness said of the restaurant rant, quote, "They are a highly respectable couple." And Schumer made a scene yelling, "She voted for Trump. She voted for Trump." He even followed him outside and continued the tirade. The recipient of this rant confirmed the Page Six story, saying Senator Schumer was really rude. He's our senator. I really don't like him. Yes, I voted for Trump. Schumer joined us outside. He told me Trump was a liar. I should have told him that Hillary Clinton was a liar, but I was surprised I didn't say anything. What a lunatic.
Someone in that restaurant at some point probably had to bring the waiter over and say, "Excuse me, sir, can you please tell the Senate Minority Leader to just quiet down a little bit? I'm here with my family."
How could we, in a world of cell phones and cameras, not have gotten that on tape? I would pay money to see that.
In my mind, it played out like that scene in the Blues Brothers where they go to the fancy restaurant and Jake Blues is acting in kind of like Chuck Schumer would be.
"How much for the little girl?" "The women. How much for the women?"
"What?"
"Your women. I want to buy your women, the little girl, your daughters. Sell them to me. Sell me your children. Later, D."
That was Schumer in the restaurant last night making a scene of himself. Oh, man. Somebody's got to have that on video somewhere. I mean, you're right. In this day and age of technology, the fact that this hasn't came out on Twitter or Instagram or Snapchat or something, somebody's got to have something on this, because anytime Chuck Schumer walks into a room, you should automatically start recording it, because he's either going to do one of two things: make a scene or cry, because those are his go-to moves. Or make a scene.
Those alligator tears, for sure. Coming up next, Hammer, I know you're a guy that likes it when the bad guys lose.
Absolutely.
You're a man that likes it when sometimes a bad guy dies. And we have an interesting story. Boy, this one out of Oklahoma blew my mind. It's an intruder story, a break-in story. Turned out good guys won, bad guys zero. We'll get to that next. It's the Hammer and Nigel Show, filling in for Chad Benson.
Serving up talk radio medium rare and dripping with irony. It's Chad Benson.
The Hammer and Nigel Show, filling in for Chad Benson, at Chad Benson Show on Twitter. Or we're hanging around on Twitter, too, at Hammer and Nigel, also 844-DIG-CHAD, the phone number. My name is Nigel Hammer over there. Boy, this story about the home invasion in Oklahoma is crazy. Do you want to explain what happened with this guy? Three teenagers broke into a home in Oklahoma and were shot dead.
I enjoyed this story. I would love to talk about this. There was the son of the homeowner that was there, 23-year-old, I believe.
Yeah.
A group of bad guys pull up. There's a getaway driver, three people trying to break into the house. Well, guess what happens? The son was packing heat. There was a gat in the house. So he opens fire, kills all three of them. Getaway driver drives away. That driver was arrested earlier today. But you said before we went into break, Nigel, I love this story because I love it when bad things happen to bad people. I like it when bad guys die and don't breathe my oxygen anymore. This is one of those stories where I don't think the news media can pick this up and run with it enough.
They broke into this house with brass knuckles and knives. I mean, never bring a knife to a gunfight, I guess, right?
Amen.
Is the old adage. The intruders were between the ages of 16 and 18 years old. There's a part of me that's a little disheartened there. What are these kids thinking?
Nope, not me. I'm glad they're dead.
I've been broken into twice in my life. My house, where I used to live in my 20s, broken into twice. I was not home at either time. But it's an unnerving thing that I still think about to this day. I'm 40 years old. I turn my alarm system on in my house even when I'm home. It was just me and my son or something, or me and my kids, and I'm home alone during the day. During the week, just hit arm stay is what I hit. Arm stay, which means the motion detectors aren't on, but if anybody breaks through a window or a door, that alarm is going off. So I know, look, man, that is the risk that you take. You're playing a man's game right there. You break into somebody's house. It says here, you said a gat. Some reports indicated the rifle was an AR-15.
So, mission accomplished. Somebody go get that big banner that W had that said mission accomplished. Hang that on front of your house. I would be that guy that would do that because mission accomplished. These guys were trying to break in, and it wasn't just one. It was a group of bastards with weapons. And like you said, you picked the wrong home to go into.
I have some questions here. The would-be burglars had a short exchange of words with the homeowner's 23-year-old son before he shot them with a rifle, is how the story goes. Police say they did not know each other. So this appears to be random. And I really hope criminals see this and understand that, this can happen. These teenagers show up with brass knuckles and a knife and end up paying for it with their lives.
And the getaway driver drove away from the scene, probably after hearing the gunfire.
She turned herself in later.
Turned herself in earlier today. So let this be a lesson. You never can tell. They might look like, pleasant teenagers coming to your house. You never know who's got brass knuckles and a knife. Don't be afraid to arm yourself and do it the right way. I'm not one of these over-the-top gun people. I'm not, a member of the NRA.
Are you a gun owner?
I am.
You are.
I'm not a gun nut, though. You know what I'm saying? I've got one to protect my family, but I'm not one of these people that's going to a gun show, listening to a Ted Nugent album, cutting the sleeves off my shirt. But
gun owners, over-the-top gun owners are going to love this because I'm not a gun owner. But I would be if it weren't for my wife. She doesn't want one in the house. So I'm typing on the internet, what else can I buy to keep in my house, to keep in my bedroom in case I hear somebody breaking in at night? I've got a big can of wasp spray.
Wasp spray?
That was a suggestion from some of these anti-gun websites. I just, look, if I'm not allowed, I'm not anti-gun at all. I'm pro-gun, but if I'm not allowed to have one in the house, what else can I use? To, in the event of a burglary or somebody's intruding in my house, and I'm sure I'm going to get made fun of. You can call me or tweet at us.
And
at Hammer,
you should be made fun of.
At Hammer and Nigel. But if you're not, if other people in your family are against having a gun in your house, I hide a little can of wasp spray under the bed.
This is what I'm visualizing.
Is this ridiculous or what?
This is how I picture things playing out. Your family is tied up on a chair somewhere, back to back. You're on the phone to Shannon Watts. The wasp spray didn't work. What do I do now?
No, let me tell you something. Wasp spray is worse than mace. It'll mess you up. I've read the statistics. I've read the label. It's worse than mace. Okay, call it Shannon Watts.
You're on speed dial with old Shannon. The wasp spray didn't work, and now I'm out. They're still here. What do I do?
Good Lord. I mean, look, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do if I'm not allowed to have a gun in my house? I'm pro-gun, and you could make fun of me at Hammer and Nigel. My name is Nigel, by the way. Hello. I keep a bottle of I keep a can of wasp spray in my sock drawer.
You could go with a knife. You could go with a baseball bat.
Sure.
You could go with any other blunt force object other than something you've got to point spray with a little skinny tip on the end of it, hoping that it just magically lands in their eyes.
Here's the thing, though, with a bat, you're getting too close to the assailant then. You have to be close. At least the wasp spray, you know those cans of wasp spray, they shoot like 25 feet.
If I've got a bat, I want to be close to the assailant. That's the point of the bat.
I didn't know you were a gun owner. That's interesting to me.
Yeah.
Did you take some training? Did you really you took a course?
Yeah, big safety guy with guns. I don't like to talk about it a lot.
I understand.
Because it seems to me people that brag about their guns have their houses broken into quite a bit. So I don't want to be that guy.
Of course, people that brag about having wasp spray in their sock drawer also get broken into a lot. I may have just shot myself in the foot.
People are spreading it on social media right now. Note to self, break into Nigel's house, wear goggles.
Coming up next, Tamer, it's one of my favorite segments when we do this show. It's called Is This Anything? A punk rock group has taken a stand on stage.
Uh-oh.
And mentioned Donald Trump. Do we have audio of that?
We do not, because it's not able to be played on the air.
But we'll tell you which band it is coming up. Boy, they really went out on a limb for this one. This probably is not going to surprise you. An all-new round of Is This Anything? It's the Hammer and Nigel Show, filling in for Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
Independent in thoughts and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
The Hammer and Nigel Show, filling in for Chad Benson. My name is Nigel. Jason Hammer sitting over there. And yes, I literally walked into a hornet's nest with the last topic of conversation. We were talking about guns in our houses. You're a gun owner, Hammer. I am not. My wife won't let me have one. We have young kids. So I said, I probably should have thought about this a little more before I went on a nationally syndicated radio show and admitted that instead of a gun in my sock drawer, I keep a can of wasp spray in case of intruders.
So what if the intruder has glasses?
You have to understand something. The wasp spray is 100 times stronger than mace or anything else like that. It doesn't matter if you have glasses or not. If it gets in your face, it's going to burn you. And so that's my answer. I mean, I guess I could buy a taser or something like that.
Or could get a bat or something that will actually hurt the assailant.
So we have a Twitter poll here?
Yep. Go to our Twitter, at Hammer and Nigel, all one word, at Hammer and Nigel. The poll question: if someone doesn't have a gun, is wasp spray going to help in a home invasion? Your options are yes or no and what the blank.
Oh, man. Some of the tweets that have come in. Somebody tweeted at us, how about just being a real man instead of wasp spray? Somebody wrote in bear spray. That's a good idea. Wasp spray plus a lighter. Yeah, that's the other thing. I could just use a can of hairspray with a lighter. Use like the homemade blowtorch.
Bauer 75 tweets in, damn, I was going to rob Nigel with my big jar of wasps. Now I need to replan. So keep the tweets coming Hammer and Nigel.
What a smart ass.
All right, let's play a little game we call Is This Anything? How about
that? All right, I'm going
to
explain how that works.
I will give you, Nigel, a pop culture topic.
Okay.
Something people are talking about in pop culture. You simply tell us if this is anything or not. If this is something people should talk about or if it's a waste of their time. Is This Anything? The band Green Day, they're on tour. And at every one of their shows, at some point in the night, they yell out, blank you, Donald Trump. Starts with an F, ends with a K, and it's not fire truck. So, you go to a show, you hear politics coming from Green Day. Is this anything?
No, it's not anything. Should it surprise you that Green Day is up on stage yelling something like that? That's so easy and cliche. That's so, if you wanted to be real punk rock, like Johnny Rotten of the Sex Pistols just came out, I think it was him that said that he was a Trump supporter. That's original punk rock right there. That's original punk. I mean, the guys from Green Day yelling F you Donald Trump, that's nothing. It shouldn't surprise anybody at all. And quite honestly, it's the easy thing to do.
It's anti-rock and roll, right? Rock and roll used to be sticking it to the man against society.
Well, that's what they think they're doing here. But you wanted to be true punk rock? Get up there and say, give Donald Trump a big round of applause.
You think Billy Joe is going to go on stage wearing a Make America Great Again hat?
Made in China.
Made in China.
Yeah, so no, I really don't think that's anything. Green Day, whatever.
You're not a Green Day guy, are you?
I used to be. Yeah, I really loved their first album. They were huge back in the day. They had some huge hits and tons of Grammys and things of that nature. Billy Joe Armstrong recently out of rehab for a couple of years. So I think you get on stage, that's a show. They're putting on a show. It doesn't surprise me one bit. Now, if the Rascal Flatts got on stage or, Toby Keith.
That would be something.
That would be something. But Green Day, that shouldn't surprise anybody at all. And again, how easy is it to get on stage and say that in this day and age?
Is This Anything? Will Ferrell's Funny or Die website. We've had some videos posted on there before. They've picked up of ours. They are starting a left-wing political TV show starring Sarah Silverman. Is This Anything?
Well, I mean, look, you see the success of some of these late-night talk shows on the networks, like Stephen Colbert is having some success. He's all in on the anti-Trump train. Some of the cable network news, we were just talking about Rachel Maddow's ratings. They're kind of MSNBC's doing very well right now. Rachel Maddow even beating out Tucker Carlson in certain demos. So there might be something to a left-wing political TV show on the Funny or Die website. I don't exactly go to Funny or Die to get my
politics. Going to Hulu. Hulu's going to pick it up, and they're going to air a new episode once a week for 10 weeks. They haven't picked a start date yet, but it will be available on Hulu. If you have a smart TV, you can watch it on, your Hulu feed, and it will star Sarah Silverman as the host.
Yeah, well, Sarah Silverman, I thought at one point she was really funny. I'm kind of annoyed at how political she's gotten, and I did see her last stand-up special. She was in some small club wearing really, really short shorts. Very attractive lady. I just didn't find it that funny. So, I mean, say what you want. I don't think that's anything. But, there's something to this. Again, MSNBC's ratings are not through the roof, but they're doing very well. Rachel Maddow doing well. Stephen Colbert, number one in late night. And I don't know. There's something to that.
The show will be called I Love You, America, starring Sarah Silverman. And this is according to Variety. They had an article on this at Variety.com. Silverman, who wants to connect with people who may not agree with her personal opinions through honesty, humor, genuine interest, and more.
All right. Well, I don't mind the way they put that.
Do you believe it, though?
Read that again. How does she put that? She wants to connect with people that doesn't agree with her?
Who do not agree with her personal opinions through honesty, humor, and genuine interest.
Okay, then. Entertain me. All right. I don't care that I don't agree with you. Just be entertaining and funny. Okay? Just like Bill Maher. Just like George Carlin for you. I don't necessarily agree with any of those guys, but just I want something fascinating and entertaining. Okay.
Oh, if you want something entertaining, this may be for you.
All right.
Do you remember the show John and Kate Plus 8? That old reality show with Kate Gosselin, her husband, and their little Rugrats. That was a big deal. Everybody's wife and girlfriend made them watch that back in the day.
She had like 6 kids at once, right?
Yeah.
They had a couple others, John and Kate Plus 8 kids. Oh,
they had a big falling out, and they've been divorced for a long time.
Yeah, John Gosselin's like divorced.
Well, John Gosselin is now allegedly a DJ and male stripper in a club, and he's planning a big striptease show this Saturday. So, Nigel, John Gosselin, club DJ and stripper, is this anything?
This can't be real. First of all, what is Saturday? I think Saturday is April 1st.
April Fool's Day.
There's something going on here.
See, I thought that too, but I asked my wife, and my wife was a regular viewer of the John and Kate show back in the day. Like, watched every season. She still keeps up with the kids. She got vested in. And I asked her about John. I was like, this can't be real, right? She tells me that he's been kind of doing this male review stuff for a while. He was working out. He was allegedly taking roids. He was trying to do the whole Magic Mike thing. So it might have some legs.
Hey, look, you got to do what you got to do to put food for 8 kids on the table, even if it means stripping down to a thong and shaking your thing for a bunch of horny ladies.
So let me ask you this question. Let's say you're out of town and Mrs. Nigel's going to go out to a club. How would you respond if you got home and she said, man, John Gosselin shook his junk right in my face? Would you laugh? Would you be offended? Would you?
I'd ask her to tell me more about it. I'd be kind of interested in that. So the reality show star danced, was gyrating in her face.
Turned on Genuine's pony and things got weird. It all went weird after that. So is this something or not?
No, I don't believe it. I don't think it's anything. I'm not in on that at all.
All right. I kind of know your answer to this before we get into it, but
yeah.
The Cash Me Outside girl, we all remember her, right?
Oh, no. Do we have her here?
Got her here.
Oh, here, let me turn this up here.
Did you say the hoes are laughing?
Yep.
So the audience are a bunch of hoes?
Yep. Catch me outside, how about that?
Oh. I love Dr. Phil in that, too. He's just so perplexed. He can't understand a word she's saying, and he's like this old, did you say
The hoes are laughing?
Yep.
So the audience are a bunch of hoes?
Yeah. Catch me outside, how about that?
Every time I hear that phrase, I get a little bit dumber. Every time I hear those magic words, a couple brain cells commit suicide. The Cash Me Outside girl, Danielle Bregoli, has signed a major television deal for an upcoming reality show. This girl's going to be making 6 figures a year, Nigel. The Cash Me Outside girl, 6 figures a year.
That's exactly what she needs, more attention and more money. Yeah, because she seems to be a really well-adjusted young teenage girl. That's exactly what she needs, a reality TV show. She's going to wind up, over under, what is she, 13, 14 years old? How long is it going to take? Does she go to jail before she's 20? Like, in her teenage years, will she enter incarceration or a rehab of some sort?
Oh, that's an absolute home run. That's a yes. A better question is, before she turns 21, will she be knocked up by Johnny Manziel?
Well, let's hope she is of age first. But yes, that's probably a legitimate question as well.
Will you be watching the reality show of the Cash Me Outside girl?
I think reality shows, haven't they jumped the shark? Even the term jump the shark is jump the shark for that matter. Good God. I obviously would not waste 1 second of my time watching the Cash Me Outside girl.
Catch Me Outside. How about that?
Oh, God. Makes my skin crawl.
I just love Dr. Phil there. He's just confused and perplexed. What?
Did you say the hoes are laughing?
Yep.
Dr. Phil's awesome. In addition to all this healthcare stuff and these ridiculous reality shows and rumors of Russians, let's not forget that we are in the midst of Final Four week.
Ooh.
And that's pretty damn cool.
Yeah.
And I admit, I've kind of got a bromance going with the South Carolina head coach, Frank Martin. This dude is kind of an old school, red ass guy, and I'm all in on him. He made a statement at his press conference yesterday that I think warrants repeating. And we'll talk about that next when we come back.
It's the Hammer and Nigel Show, filling in for Chad Benson.
Giving the First Amendment a run for its money. This is the Chad Benson Show.
Hammer and Nigel, filling in for Chad Benson. My name is Nigel. Jason Hammer sitting right over there. Who you got in the final four winning? Who's going to win it all, Hammer?
Man, if I have to go up to the sports book and place a bet,
yeah,
North Carolina's really good.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not rooting for them, but if you're asking me who I think is going to win, got to go North Carolina. But I don't have a dog in the fight here. You know, my teams have all been eliminated, but I do find myself rooting for South Carolina. They're not supposed to be here. They're a number seven seed. They're coming from the SEC, which is predominantly a football conference outside of Kentucky. And I love their coach.
Yeah.
Frank Martin, man, he's just one of these old school guys, nose to the grindstone. We kind of joked in the past about he looks like the kind of guy that would beat you up as a bouncer outside of a nightclub.
That's the thing. He was a bouncer in the 80s in Florida outside of a nightclub. There was an incident where he kicked some guys out and there was some gunplay, and that's when he decided to become a coach.
That's great.
So, yeah, we were talking about Frank Martin, head coach of South Carolina, last night as well. He took the question from the Sports Illustrated for Kids reporter and everything. That was pretty cool. And we have some more audio tonight continuing to impress here.
Absolutely. And what I love about Coach Martin is he lets you know he's not perfect. He's made some mistakes before. He's done some dumb things, but he's overcame adversity, and he always tries to pass those messages on to his kids.
You know, we tend to jump on these kids when they make mistakes as if we didn't make mistakes. And some of us got caught. Some of us haven't been caught. But when we sit around and start judging people in their difficult moments, it says a lot about the people that criticize, not the people that make the mistakes. And I was a part of an unfortunate situation coaching high school basketball, and it was under my watch. I still to this day say we were not guilty, but I was responsible for that situation. And I lost my job, and that was the first time I ever said, I'm going to try this college thing. Only one person wrote me back, and that was Coach K, the only person. You know, if you ever lose your dream or your desire to fight for your dream, then don't get mad when you don't get it. But adversity, how we handle that determines what comes forward.
That was Frank Martin, head coach, South Carolina. I think what he was talking about there, like back in high school, there was maybe some recruiting type violations that he had back then. He never admitted any wrongdoing, and he was never accused of any wrongdoing, but yet he was still dismissed
right from
that high school program. That was back in late 90s.
Students were giving some housing or something, a place to live.
Yeah, I don't know what was going on with that, but yeah, man, you get knocked down, no matter what happens, get back up again. That's the essential message right there.
I'm good with that, man. And that's, again, I have no problem if I had a son that was going to play college basketball. You know, you're worried about the coach. Send him to play for Frank Martin, because not only does it sound like this is a guy that gets you, you know, all the skills you need to compete at the highest level of basketball, but he teaches you about life. And that's kind of all you want in a college coach and a college experience.
And Hammer, while the sports world knee deep in March Madness here coming up this weekend, there's two big NFL stories with some social ramifications happening. Did you see what the Browns All-Pro tackle Joe Thomas had to say about one Mr. Colin Kaepernick?
Oh, Joe Thomas, the only good thing about the Cleveland Browns, right?
He tweeted this out at JoeThomas73. My thoughts regarding Kaepernick? Teams don't currently view him as a starting QB, and NFL teams accept zero distractions from their backup QBs. Wow.
Absolutely right. And there are some people in the NFL that are giving him hell for that. I know Richard Sherman of the Seahawks was somebody that came out in support of Colin Kaepernick, but it was Stephen A. Smith recently that went on ESPN and basically laid it all out.
Colin Kaepernick is 3-16 in the last 2 years as a starting quarterback. You knew that you were going to alienate at least half of our society. You accepted it. I respect that. I don't respect how he then piggybacked off of that and announced to the world that I don't vote. You've allowed other folks to be in position to question your authenticity because of the hypocrisy that you exercised by displaying that your unwillingness to vote. It's now a scenario where if you're an NFL team, I got to ask myself, does that outweigh the distraction that you inevitably will be?
Of course, it's a little rich for Joe Thomas from the Browns to be commenting on, you know, anybody's quarterback when the Cleveland Browns, Lord, they drafted Johnny Manziel, for God's sake.
I think his main point is, if you're going to be this kind of guy, you better be good or you better be a starter. Nobody wants their backup quarterback to be a distraction, and I get that.
True.
Before we hit into break here, the Raiders, they're moving to Vegas. The Raiders are going to Vegas, but they got 2 years until they get there. If you're an Oakland fan, do you go to any of these games the next 2 years knowing it's a lame duck franchise?
Sure, if you're a diehard fan, yeah, you got two more years of your team being in your hometown, and yeah, of course I'm going. I don't... You know, I'm taking my kids as many times as possible before they finally leave the town.
I'm telling you what, though. I will say this. When they do go to Las Vegas, that is going to be the greatest home field advantage of any team in professional sports. You can talk all you want about Seattle's loud fans, but when players are getting busted for picking up hookers on road trips, that is going to be a home field advantage. In my mind, Aaron Rodgers is going to be saying this when he gets there to play the Raiders.
Oh, my God. It's Wayne Newton. I'm a fan, sir. I am a fan. Do you need a bodyguard? I'd die for you.
It's going to be Wayne Newton and Aaron Rodgers hanging out together the night before a game. That, my friends, is a home field advantage.
Nothing like a little cousin Eddie from Vegas vacation. I love it. It's the Hammer and Nigel Show, filling in for Chad Benson.
This is the Chad Benson Show.